When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Forever Dog.
Just between us.
Hey.
Just between us.
Hey. Hello, I'm Allison Raskin. I'm a writer, mental health advocate, and very wary of technology.
Hi, I'm Gabby Dunn. I'm a writer, bicon, bisexual icon, wink, and cowabunga, dude.
I'm not even acknowledging that.
Cowabunga, baby.
Because you want to talk about your surfing?
No, I'm just letting the people know that I am taking surf lessons, and I'm called to the sea. I can stand up on the board, so that's very exciting.
Like on a wave?
Yeah, on a wave. You thought I meant stand up on the board on the beach, Allison?
Or when the water was calm.
I feel like that would be even harder than trying to ride a wave. Because then you have to just be like, woo, balance. I do a pretty good job. I will say I fall every time. But I got to tell you, let me break some news for you.
Okay.
You know, they tell you, get out, move your body. That will make you feel better in your brain. Like if you do any kind of thing that, you know, it gets you moving or gets you outside of your house or whatever. This will really help your mental health. Whole time I go, fuck you. You don't know me. You don't know my life. Whatever. Turns out 100% true.
Mm-hmm.
Who did everyone know that?
A lot of people know it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a real bummer, actually.
Yeah. Mental health and exercise are very intricately linked.
Not even exercise, just being at the beach. But you know what I do? I like going to the beach because in my head, I go, I'm a taxpayer. I pay taxes to live here. This beach is basically my beach. I paid for some of it. I deserve to be here. That's how you should feel about the use of public places in your town, right? If you pay taxes, go to the park, have a picnic, play on the playground, anything that's the community center, anything that's like in the, you know, in your town, think of it as like you paid an entrance fee already, which is taxes. And now go and use it.
Who is feeling like they don't have access to public spaces?
I think people don't use it. I think people think, oh, whatever. Like, what? I'm not going to go to the park. I'm not going to go. Like, people don't like realize that all of this stuff is for free around them. And like that you can just go out and do stuff. And my motivating factor is that I go, see this little patch of grass? That's my taxes. I paid for that.
So your motivating factor is telling yourself it's actually not free and you already paid for it, so you better use it.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes some sense to me.
How is that wrong? I already paid for the upkeep of these beaches. So I what am I going to do? Now someone else gets to benefit from my little patch of sand that I paid for? No.
Your mind is a wondrous thing. And this is Just Between Us, a variety show filled with heartfelt advice,
ridiculous games,
and brutal honesty.
I just want the people to know that they should take advantage of what's in their town.
Yeah.
And that there's tons of free stuff where you live in your town that I think people like don't take advantage of.
I don't know what the upkeep is everywhere for public spaces.
For sure. But check them out. Check them out.
Check them out. Yeah. No, I go to the public park near my house all the time. It's Sugar's favorite spot.
Which square of it do you think is yours from the taxes that you pay to the town of West Hollywood?
I don't live in West Hollywood.
Oh, you're like still in LA County. You're still in Los Angeles?
Yeah.
Oh.
I get really offended when people tell me I live in West Hollywood because it doesn't feel true to my life.
You used to get so mad when I'd be like, Allison's on the West Side. And you'd be like, you don't even know what the West Side is.
Let's talk about the show for the week because I'm getting riled.
Okay, well, this week on the show, we're going to be asking Michelle Khoury some tough questions about trying new things. You guessed it. She is our ex-coworker from B*ZZFE*D.
Don't blow your own joke that you make later.
No, I'm just saying, so in case that sounds familiar to you, she's our coworker from a place that we worked that is bleeped.
Are you seriously bleeping it? Why are we bleeping it?
Because it's evil. Later, we're going to be discussing things that we've been wrong about, so stay tuned. But
first, we've got to answer a listener's question. So you know what that means. Hit it! International question! Victoria, New York. So Victoria says, hi, Allison and Gabby. My name is Victoria, and this question comes from New York. First, just want to say I'm a huge fan of you both, and I want to thank you both for the comfort and fun that this show brings.
Oh,
so nice. Okay. TLDR, I have a close guy friend. Let's call him Charles. And while he is great, loving, and present friend, lately, the last 3 months, he's been falling flat with making plans, and I can't tell if I should take the hint, if that's even what it is, LOL, or keep trying. Falling flat means telling him about plans to go to the beach months in advance, him saying he'd love to, and he'll ask his partner. Months go by, no response. I ask again as it gets closer. The same thing happens. He shows enthusiasm like he wants to, but never gets back to me about what his partner says. I feel like asking a third time is too much. Some context. I feel very triggered by non-reciprocal relationships. So when I feel that I'm trying more than the other person is, I feel unequal and just want to back out. I hesitate to back out in this situation, though, because this person has always been a really lovely, solid friend, and I've lost so many friends recently. I'm afraid to lose another person. I'm also afraid that I'm being too rigid, but I feel like asking a third time is too many times and that I should get the hint from his actions, not his words. Further, I feel unenthusiastic to engage with him generally now because of this and don't want to approach a conversation where we talk about plans again. So I feel kind of stuck and unsure how to proceed. Should I take the hint from him or keep trying? If I try, how would you proceed if you were me? Thank you both.
Okay.
This like exact thing is happening with me and my friend from college where I've reached out a couple times and he's like replied, but like never offered, been like, I'm busy, but like never offered a time to reschedule or to like actually get together.
Yeah.
And so part of why I picked this question was I was like, oh, this is me.
Yeah. So I definitely have people who do this to me. And I sometimes I go with my gut instinct of like, is this just what they're like? And so I barrel through. Are they just flaky, you know, spacey type of person? Is there someone whose calendar is super in flux all the time? Or I try to feel out if it's that or if it's someone who's just like not into being friends with me. And kind of in some ways, it depends on if that matters to you. Like the first group, I don't really take personally, but I can see a world in which it's like, that is not a compatible friend to me then. If this is a person who is flaky or, you know, through no fault of their own, schedule, family, mental illness, whatever, if that person is not compatible with the way that your feelings work and actually triggers negative feelings for you, then like, unfortunately, you're just not compatible as friends. Now, the other side is that this person is ditching you. And it could be for any reason. It could be where you're like, oh my God, they're ditching me because I'm annoying and I'm a bad friend or whatever. No, sometimes people just like ditch or like are having their own mental health stuff or just like are in a new group of friends. I don't know. Like people are so, I feel like I've had this happen to me from both sides for multiple reasons. Like one reason of this person's just like, I find Gabby annoying, which honestly, get in line. Or it'll be like, I just am not someone who like, you're not the first person I think of, or like, I don't, you're not like on my top 10 list of who to hang out with, but like, I like you. Or it's like, you know, someone who's like, I really do want to hang out. I just like, every time I'm about to leave my house, I lose my keys and then I'm 3 hours late. Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, but what it seems to me is that it's not like this person's always been this way. Is that there's been a shift in that, like in the past, they were able to make plans with them and now suddenly they can't. And so, you know, I think in terms of like how I've been handling it in my own life is like, I've sort of been like, okay, well, I've reached out to him,
right,
my friend, a couple of times, and my anxious brain wants to go to, oh, this person doesn't want to be my friend anymore. But then I take a step back and I'm like, but have I done anything for that to be the case?
Exactly.
Like, I've been friends with this person for like over a decade. Nothing has happened. Mm-hmm. And what I do know what is happening is that like their life right now is very busy.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe their life just right now is really busy. And mm-hmm. so I'm not like best friends with them.
Right.
And I'm sure they're still seeing some of their friends. But mm-hmm. a lot of times when you go through like a really busy time, like it's really you only have time for like your primaries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we're not each other's primaries. And then I go, you know, so what do I do? Right. And then I've thought to myself, what I'm going to do is I'm going to assume that it's not about me.
Right.
But I'm also not going to continue reaching out because
exactly.
clearly this is like a busy time or something. Maybe something has happened. Who knows? But so what I will do is I will just in my head go, when they want to hang out with me or when they want to see or catch up with me, they'll reach out to me. And when that happens, instead of like being angry or mad or whatever, because I don't actually feel those things, I'll just be there and mm-hmm. we'll catch up. Mm-hmm. So I'm sort of just like taking this like wider stance of like, this person's been in my life for many, many years. I'm sure they'll continue to be in my life in some capacity. Mm-hmm. But for right now, for whatever reason, they're not making an effort.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will now put the ball in their court. And when they are ready and when they do have time, I'll be around and I'll be happy to hang out. But that's because that's that kind of friendship where we mm-hmm. aren't that close. I think when you have a really close friend who then you feel like isn't making plans, that hits different and that's more hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
And in those cases, I do think that there is something to be said and something that I really need to work on, which is saying, hey, I've been trying to make plans with you. I feel like we haven't actually made any plans. Is something going on or are you just really busy? Either way, I would just kind of like to discuss it because it's kind of hurting my feelings.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what I was going to say is that there have been times where I've been direct and I've been like, you know, this is why I don't want to hang out anymore. And then there are other times where I'm a chicken and I let things ghost and I should have confronted or I should have said why. But it's hard to like say for me, like right now there's some stuff where it's like, you're a very negative person and mm-hmm. I'm trying to only allow positive people in my life. So like, how do I phrase that exactly? I don't know. I don't want to be like, no, it's definitely not you, you know, whatever. Because like maybe, I mean, truly like maybe that something is up with the partner. Maybe the partner is like, doesn't want to go out that much. Or maybe the partner like not a huge fan of yours. Like, I don't know, you know, like there's so many things that could happen. I think you're just spiraling unless you ask directly. Like, it's totally cool if like, Should I stop trying to hang out? Like, it's totally cool. It's a little bit hurtful that, like, you keep flaking. So, like, is there something better that we could do? Like, do you not want to go to the beach? Do you want me? I could just come over? Like, you know, kind of trying to be direct in, like, what is going on. But I'm also a fucking coward who, if someone did that to me, I might be like, no! This is going to be bad. Nobody's going to want to be my friend because the amount of times that I'm like, I have to go meet this person I don't like.
So yeah, you just maintain those friendships.
I don't maintain them because I don't make myself like super available. And there's also people that I really like as people, but I don't want to hang out with. Like life mm-hmm. is complicated. Like,
yeah.
I really like you. I don't want to hang out with you. Or like, I like you, but I like you in these sort of small doses that mm-hmm. I can control.
Right.
Or some friends of mine like are like super close, but like they'll be busy and I won't see them for like a month or like, you know, they'll be like my best friend for like 3 days where I'll be like, oh my God, we're together the whole time. And then, you know, then I don't know if that's a Gemini thing where it's like, I just saw like a meme that was like Geminis and they're like 50 new best friends every day, which is how I feel. So like, I don't know. I think you just have to like ask, but also the answer might be a lie and it also might be, or it might be hurtful.
Well, I think it's one of those things where there's no hard and fast rule. Like you sort of have to think about it. It's like, mm-hmm. how much is this upsetting you? So mm-hmm. if it's one of those things where it's like, oh, I'd like to hang out, but clearly this person's busy, so I'm going to just cool it. And when they reach out, there'll be no hard feelings, but I'll let it be on their timeline. Great. Mm-hmm. But if it's the sort of thing where like you're thinking about it a lot, it's causing you pain, you feel like you're about to potentially like self-sabotage the relationship mm-hmm. in some way, that I think that those are signals that like you probably do need to bring it up and talk about it. But I think that like really checking in with yourself and looking at each friendship individually and thinking about, okay, what kind of friendship is this? Mm-hmm. What is, you know, in the past, like how have the patterns changed? Like, is this what they've always been like? Am I just being extra sensitive, or is this really a significant shift that is worth me bringing up?
It's vulnerable to ask someone to hang out.
Totally. You know, yeah. And like, I have another friend where like we had plans, but then I canceled, but then he didn't reschedule. And then I was like, oh, I'll just reach out again. And then like, now we have plans, you know, but like,
yeah,
because I had to be like, oh, right. But I was the first one who canceled. So like, you know, like, and I, cause yeah. I am someone who's also incredibly sensitive to, if I feel like someone doesn't want to be my friend, as I'm discovering in therapy, I'm just like, okay, goodbye.
Yeah.
And so I probably could do more work on like vocalizing when I need more from a friend, or when I feel neglected from a friend. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think also you got to take in the greater context. And if it seems like this person is just really overwhelmed in their life in general, mm-hmm. you know, but you're also allowed to say, well, that's not the kind of friendship that I want. I want yeah. a friend who's still available, or at least can check in, or be more, or at least has the ability to
say,
I'm really busy right now, that's why I can't do this, versus right. like misleading you.
Mm-hmm. This person wasn't getting back to me. And then they just were like, hey, I'm really sorry. Well, cause I spun a tale in my head where I said, they're not getting back to me because I changed my pronouns. They're not mm. getting back to me because I'm they, them, and they're mad about it, and they're not getting back to me or whatever. Or they think it's dumb. So I said, I texted them to be like, are you not getting back to me because of my gender? And then they were like, what? No, I'm in a depressive hole. And I was like, you are? Are you okay? And then they were like, I'm madly depressed. So like, it's just like this thing where like, I would rather someone reach out. I would rather, if I'm like, hey, can we hang out? And then instead of not saying anything, I know that's so hard, but I would rather someone be like, I'm depressed. Mm-hmm. Or just something like, which is, I know as someone with severe major depressive episodes, the idea of texting I'm depressed even overwhelms you. So I get it. But like maybe from the other side, think, oh, maybe something's going on with them, rather than, oh my God, they hate me because I'm non-binary now. Like I went into a fucking spiral. But there are also people I am avoiding. But there are also people that I know are avoiding me. Like certain people are super mixed signals. Right. So like one person, I know that this person is known for being flaky. They will disappear for a month and a half and then send me an email being like, you're the coolest person in the whole world. I adore you. I want to hang out in person. Da, 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 da. And I'll be like, I'll write back like, yeah, amazing. And then they'll disappear for another month. And like, I will give that person 100 chances. And then like someone else will just flake one time and I'll be like, you're dead to me. So I don't know. But I also know that there are probably people who I reach out to who just are not responding or don't want to hang out. Not because like, oh, I'm just busy, or oh, I, you know, I'm going through something right now, or whatever. They just don't like me, Gabby Dunn. But it's so hard. There's no answer. Like this one person that reaches out all the time. At first, I was like not into it. And then I changed my mindset. And I was like, no, this person clearly loves me and wants to hang out. So let me hang out with them more. And now it's great. But I set a boundary. I'm not going to text all fucking day. This person wants to text all day. I'll respond to one out of every 8 texts. So like, I don't have an answer, because I'm sure that I am somebody's version of, I will respond to every 1 out of 8 texts. And I'm sure that I'm super close to certain people who I know are holding boundaries with me. Like, they're like, I love you. You're invited to about half of the things I throw, because the other half, I need them to have a different atmosphere than what you bring, Gabby Dunn. So I don't know.
I think it's about figuring out what feels okay in that murkiness, you know? So like,
it's so murky.
It's like, first is acknowledging that friendships, adult friendships in particular, are complex. They go through phases. They're not always going to be what you want them to be. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, but But within that, what doesn't make me feel bad? Right. Or either how do I then not feel bad about it? How do I reframe this situation so that it doesn't cause me distress? And that might involve talking to them directly, or that might involve you just making some assumptions that may or may not be right, but you decide that that's what you're going to think about the situation.
Right.
And so it's really about like, how do you not let it affect you? And if you're unable to do that, then I think that's a sign that you need to talk to somebody about it.
Yeah. It's just so murky.
This is one girl who I interned with like in my early 20s. And like once a year, she'll reach out and be like, we have to catch up. And I'll be like, definitely. And then she'll disappear. And then this last time, we literally made a FaceTime, like a Zoom time to do it. And I was like, this is unbelievable. I'm finally going to catch up with this person. It's been years. And then that day she was like, I'm sick. And then never rescheduled.
Oh my God, I'm that person though.
But I never reach out to her. She always is the one that initiates. She initiates consistently, like once every year or two, and then never follows through.
People are complex. Like, we can't solve this. Like, this is a question we cannot solve because we are the doees. We are the doers. We are this. We are like, people are complex.
And so I think it's about like accepting that complexity and then like within the individual relationships being like, okay, what can I work with? What can I work
yes,
with?
Yes, totally. Well, I hope this was helpful literally at all.
If you want to submit your international question, you can send it to justbetweenuspod@gmail.com. That's justbetweenuspod@gmail.com.
Stick around after the break. We're going to be asking Michelle Carey some tough questions.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you all about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or use their voice-to-text feature. And mylifeinabook.com compiles all her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. Right before I found out about this project, my mom made an offhand comment about wanting to write a memoir because she had such a wild childhood and there are all these things she's never really talked to us about. But asking someone to sit down and write a memoir is kind of daunting. So then I got her mylifeinabook.com, and now she's getting prompts to answer on a weekly basis, and it's a lot easier than just undertaking an entire memoir. I'm so excited to see what my mom does with mylifeinabook.com because she's someone who doesn't always feel comfortable just sharing about herself, but having these prompts and knowing that I really want to hear her answers is going to inspire her to probably share more with me about her life and her upbringing than I've ever been shared with before. So I'm so excited for that. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code JUSTBETWEENUS at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. Use code JUSTBETWEENUS for 10% off today.
Has dealing with stress and trying to get more focused a New Year's resolution you haven't cracked yet or don't really know how to fix? I have a lot of trouble staying focused, and I also get super stressed out, and I think that not being able to stay focused really dovetails with that. So if there was a way for me to keep my focus that didn't also cause my brain to get so scattered with stress, I would love to be able to fix it. I sometimes can't focus on the task at hand because I'm so busy realizing that there are things I need to do on the Just Between Us Instagram account. So I'll be like fully writing something and all of a sudden my brain will go, oh, JBU Instagram, have to post on social media. Truvaga is a handheld product that stimulates the vagus nerve to improve overall health and wellness. Stimulating the vagus nerve with Truvaga helps to balance and strengthen the nervous system, which reduces stress, increases focus, improves mood, and improves sleep. Truvaga is owned by ElectroCore and uses its patented technology for overall health and wellness benefits. Its utilized technology is the most clinically studied and tested vagus nerve therapy available. Customizable sessions are only 2 minutes long. Recommended usage is one session in the morning and one at night. Truvaga comes programmed with 350 sessions, which, if used twice a day, will last approximately 6 months. It's drug-free and easy-to-use therapy to help improve your health. No app or phone is required. We offer free standard shipping, payment plan options, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. It's only available in the U.S. at this time. Visit Truvaga.com, T-R-U-V-A-G-A.com, and enter promo code JUSTBETWEENUS to enhance your wellness journey, support this podcast, and receive $15 off. That's T-R-U-V-A-G-A.com. Check out promo code JUSTBETWEENUS.
Hi, everyone. Allison here. Anyone who knows me well knows that I love to read. I am always looking for new books, and that is why I am so excited that this episode is sponsored by Book of the Month. Book of the Month's mission is to help readers discover new books they love and to promote the work of emerging authors. It was so fun for me to get to pick which book I wanted to read this month and have it shipped right to my door. Book of the Month makes it easy to decide which book to read next. Each month, the editorial team reads through hundreds of new titles. They pick some of the best new books for you to choose from. All the books are good, so you can't go wrong. Every aspect of the Book of the Month experience is designed to be fun and special for readers. They have a highly anticipated release at the beginning of each month. Books are delivered in this really adorable bright blue box, and there's a fun app to help you pick your book and track your reading process. They also offer great values on new release hardcover fiction. It's much cheaper than other options. Shipping is always free, and with a loyalty program, you get rewards and even lower prices the longer you stay as a member. My first book from Book of the Month was The Husbands by Holly Gramazio. I am tearing through this book. It is so fun. It's basically about this woman who one day comes home and there's a husband in her apartment, and she's like, "Where did you come from?" And then she figures out that every time her new husband goes into the attic, a new husband comes out, and she's like shuffling through all these different husbands from the attic trying to figure out which one is the best. It is right up my alley, and I love it so much. So if you want to take part in Book of the Month and have a brand new book shipped right to your door every single month, go to bookofthemonth.com and get your first book for $5 with code PETALS. That's $5 off with code PETALS. I cannot recommend this enough.
Welcome back to Just Between Us. It's time for the juiciest, most scandalous, controversial segment known to all of podcasting, Tough Questions.
This week on the show, we have Michelle Khoury, who is a content creator, actress, and just all around person who tries things on her channel. It's raw, unfiltered journeys into different communities. I'm sure you've seen her videos. And she is our former coworker at Bleep. We shall not be named. Hello, Michelle.
You mean BuzzFeed?
Hello. Why are you saying it? Why are you saying it?
Michelle, we are so excited to have you on. We have been huge professional and personal fans of you for so long. I'm someone who is like, I don't really try new things that much. And this is like your entire brand. And so, like, how did you figure out that, like, this would be what you would do on YouTube? Because I feel like YouTube is such a huge space. There's so many different things, like, genres to go into, but like when you branched off on your own, like how did you figure out that like this would be your thing?
Oh, well, first of all, thank you guys so much for having me. It's funny you mentioned that because I am such a big fan of you guys. I when we were co-workers at the place that must not be named, I looked up to you guys so much. I was fans of you guys before I even worked there. So this is really exciting for me. How did I realize that that's what I wanted to do on YouTube? Well, I kind of came into the YouTube world with a unique situation. When I was working at a full-time job, I was also a competitive cyclist. So I was working 9 to 5 and then training after work, leaving from the office, traveling on the weekends. And I kind of got to this place where I realized this isn't sustainable. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to combine my love of pushing myself physically and mentally with creating online content. And so that's sort of where I got the idea for the show Challenge Accepted on my YouTube channel. And it's really all about pushing myself outside my comfort zone. I think a lot of people look at the videos and think, oh, that's really cool, or that was so brave. But the truth is that each video is born out of a personal fear I have. For example, you know, I'd love to be as brave as a firefighter, but I'm terrified of going in a burning building. I would, you know, I always had the dream of being an ice skater as a little kid, but now I feel like I'm too old to take that on. Why do I feel too old? Why do I feel like I can't occupy these spaces? And so in each one, even though I might not like explicitly talk about it in the video, each of them are surrounding a very specific fear that I have.
What has been the hardest, you know, topic for you to tackle? What's been the biggest fear?
Oh my gosh. Well, all of them are really scary. And some of them are very obvious, you know, like going in the burning building or doing a marine obstacle course without any harness attached to you. Those are very physical fears. But one that I've been struggling a lot with recently is the longest video I've ever trained for is not a physical challenge. I am currently training like a chess master and it is kicking my ass, guys.
To have the like mental acuity to do chess.
Exactly. It's driving me insane. I have been working on this challenge for 6 months now and I still wow. haven't hit like the initial goal that I set for myself. And it has driven me crazy. I have had so much anxiety. I've gone full therapy, only talking about chess pretty much. My therapist is sick of it. I'm sick of it. And it's just so funny because I didn't think it would be this hard. I was like, mm-hmm. okay, this isn't a physical challenge. Like I'm not going to have to be sweating or in pain. That this is fine. Like I'll just play chess a few hours a day. Oh my God. I just like, when I tell you, I have wanted to set things on fire because of chess. it is so maddening and very educational for myself. I'm trying to keep a positive attitude.
Oh my this is God. My
therapist speaking, not me. You know, having your intelligence on display is a sense of vulnerability that I have not experienced in this capacity. Even just playing an online tournament with 100,000 people watching, you make a mistake and the whole chat fills with, oh, she's so dumb. Why is she in this tournament? She should have known pawn e5. Like, oh my God, you know, it's crazy.
God.
And it hurts so much more when it's about your mind versus my body. I feel like in the past, I've been like, you know what? I can't do a double pirouette, whatever. And that's okay. This for some reason, and I think it ties honestly in with mental health and kind of, you know, what you're all about, Allison, and what we were talking about before we started recording even is the idea of we can't see the problem. So is it really a problem? And especially with gender tied to it, it's become very, very interesting.
I was going to say, because chess is so gendered, as soon as you started saying that people in the chat were like, she's so stupid, blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, they were already thinking that.
Yeah.
They were already against you.
Mm-hmm. It's incredible how gendered chess is when it's a mental game, mental sport. And I was actually really fortunate that two of my coaches were female coaches, like world-class chess players. Mm-hmm. One of them, Anna Rudolph, actually was accused of cheating at a really big tournament because the opponent could not believe that she would beat him.
Wow. Oh my God.
And it was in the New York Times. It's this story, like they thought that she had hidden answers in her chapstick or something. And when she was going to the bathroom, she's pulling out a cheat sheet out of her chapstick, which just doesn't even...
Oh my God.
The mental gymnastics people do to diminish women's intelligence is fascinating.
Wow. Do you feel like you have now tied your overall? I mean, because chess is a very specific thing, right? But do you feel like in this process, you've now tied your overall intelligence to how good you are at chess?
Oh, absolutely. And everyone tells me not to do that. All of my coaches, the first thing they said is, chess does not equal how smart you are, but right. It's hard to separate that. It's hard to separate it with everyone on the internet inserting their opinion. And also the thought of, I can't finish this video until I figure this out is very difficult, but has also been super humbling. And I've learned a lot about myself in the process too.
Wow. Like what?
Patience. A lot of patience. I have learned intelligence is not tied to chess ability. I've come to accept that for the betterment of my own self. And I just have so much more respect for anyone who does chess, honestly.
I have a question. Okay, so right, so you're talking about like, oh my God, I talked to my therapist about chess. I'm so focused on chess. But like, do you feel like you were already a person who like had these sort of special interests where you were like, for 6 months, I will care only about this? Or like, did that come from the videos, or was that something that you already had that then went into the videos of doing all this stuff?
I think that that was an interest of mine, like being a jack of all trades prior to doing videos, because in high school, I did science fair and theater camp. So I kind of had a lot of different interests and struggled even in college choosing a major. Ended up making my own, which I don't even know if that counts, but...
What was it?
I think I called it digital media and technology. And sure. I just made a list of all the classes I wanted to take and wrote some, you know, a convincing thing to the board, and they accepted it. I honestly, the things I've gotten away with are impressive, but I feel like I've always had a lot of interest in a variety of different things. And rather than forcing myself to specialize, I decided, what if I specialize in being the person who can try anything? Mm-hmm. So I've sort of made that my specialty as much as I can.
There's so much pressure just to pick one thing and go for it. Like, there's so much pressure to be like, now you're a gymnast, now you're an equestrian, like now you play the flute or whatever. Mm-hmm. That I think people get really caught up in like, that's my identity and I can't try new things. And even you saying like, oh, I'm too old to figure skate. Like, what would you say to people who are like, I've passed my prime of like choosing a new thing?
Well, I definitely think that you should disagree with the part of yourself that's saying that. And I also think there is definitely a societal stigma and norm of placing an age gate on everything, especially for women. But also when I really started thinking about it, I thought, you know, I'm putting a lot of this on myself. Mm-hmm. I'm putting a lot of this on myself with the way that I consume media online, on Instagram, the people I follow. It's creating this story for myself that I'm too old or not too pretty, whatever it may be, to do the things I want to do. And I think it took me a moment to realize that I'm sort of amplifying that for myself rather than just doing it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw a TikTok the other day because I get all my new knowledge from TikTok. And it was, yes. I wish I was kidding. I'm literally in graduate school and I'm learning as much on TikTok. But so yep. This woman was saying that like the best piece of advice she ever got was like, never be the one to say no to yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Like there's going to be so many other people to say no to you. Fine. But don't be the one who says no to yourself before you even try. And I feel like that's your entire thesis sort of, right?
Well, I try. And it's a practice, you know? I mean, I'm not the best at telling myself that. I'm not the best at any of the things I try. But I can at least tell myself I can get up and do it again. I mean, even when I was cycling, I was never the best, really. And some of the races that I won, you could say were a fluke if you compared raw cardiovascular talent among all of us.
Any given Sunday, baby. Any given yeah, Sunday.
Exactly. I at least told myself before every race, I could get left behind, but no one's going to stop me. Mm-hmm. So even if I fall behind in the race, I'm going to finish it.
Mm-hmm. And you were talking about like, you can't release this video because you're not good enough. You haven't hit your goal. Like, how do you decide that? How do you decide like, okay, I've done enough to now be done with this project?
Well, around month five, there was definitely a moment where I was talking to my partner, Garrett, and I was like, should I just finish this video and get it online? It has been 5 months. It's been so long. And of course, there's an empowering angle of I couldn't do it. You know, that's an interesting story too. And he was like, yeah, but you're so close. And he's like, we've already edited the montage and all we need is the clip of you succeeding. So I'm very close right now. I'm only the goal in like the grand scheme, it's called like the ELO rating. And my goal ELO rating was 1,000, which is a kind of a complicated way of quantifying your chess level. And I'm currently at 970. So hopefully very soon I'm going to finish this chess video.
God.
So this is all just online chess playing that like calculates this?
Yes. So I play a lot of online chess, like a few hours a day. And then I do coaching a couple times a week.
What are the other ones, like when you mentioned like, well, I didn't do a triple axel. So like for the other videos, is it like, okay, well, I reached this part. I know I'm not going to be able to do for the physical videos. I'm not going to be able to do this. It's okay to release the video.
So usually for the physical videos, there's some sort of timeline involved such that I'm competing for a specific event. Like in figure skating, I actually competed in a real figure skating competition. So it's usually like leading up to something that's time stamped. And along the way, we kind of know, okay, I can at least do this, this, and this by the end that are measurable skills. If anything, hopefully surpass that so that there's like a visual marker. The mm-hmm. difference with chess, I think, is that because it's mental, there aren't as many like activities or before and after measurable comparisons to visually see. So with chess, it's really more about this rating. I did do a tournament, which was supposed to be the end of the video, but I didn't do as well in the tournament as I had hoped. So I thought, you know what? Okay, I'm going to be like really good. This will be inspiring. I'm going to go and set a new goal for myself. And this new goal is just, maybe I set it a little too high, but I got to finish it. You know, it's like, we're so close. I just need to finish this out.
You don't really see failure as failure.
I don't think so. No, I mean, like if I never reached this goal and it really came down to it, we would release the video and that would be a storyline within the video.
But how would you feel personally about, like, do you ever feel like, oh, I failed? And if you do, like what? Because people are so scared of failure.
Yeah, I'm surprised you said that, Gabby, because I'm getting the sense that you do see failure as failure.
Well, I think I see it. I'm like most people, I feel that I am harder on myself in terms of defining failure. And also, I've sort of created this unfortunate hamster wheel with my YouTube channel where people sort of expect a certain level of things and otherwise are less impressed. Like I have to go to hell and back or the video isn't as good or doesn't perform as well, which is wonderful because then the library of content is very exciting, but also difficult because the library of content is difficult to make and difficult on me. So I do think it's important for me to set realistic expectations for myself because I always want to push myself to be better in anything that I do while mitigating what's reasonable and safe and healthy, not only for my body, but also mentally too. Mm-hmm.
Do you ever wish that you had never started this?
Oh my God. No, I love it. I truly love it. I know I've complained so much about chess.
How many people in the world never start new things? Like life is so finite and people just like never do new things or never try new activities or never say, they go, oh, I wish I was this and I wish I could do this and they never start. So like, you know, I think maybe it's like led to you having a more interesting life.
I love Challenge Accepted. I love the content that I make on the channel. And every time we finally release a video, I get so, so excited about it. And I think it makes the effort so much more worth it. Receiving the comments and the messages from people who are even, you know, I like to say when I started my channel, I didn't know if it would be successful. I didn't know if literally anyone would follow me. I had 3 months of money and that was it. And if I ran out, it was back to work somewhere else. And I set one goal for myself, which was if I could just inspire one person a day to do something new or different, then I've done my job. Like the views and millions, whatever, of people watching is nice, but I want to actually affect at least one person to do something different. And if I'm not doing that, then I don't really know what the point is.
Mm-hmm. How have you changed in how you approach these challenges from when you started?
I think when I started, I was constantly thinking about, and as a product of our former workplace, I was constantly thinking about what's the most viral idea I could do? What's trendy now? So some of the things I began with were training like a Victoria's Secret model for 5 weeks for a photo shoot, doing things like that. And as I've gone on, I feel like it's evolved into more documentaries about the communities I'm entering, so that it's less so about following a plan and seeing a before and after. And it's more about, what is it like to be a paramedic on a 24-hour shift and get a call that you're going into a potential COVID positive situation? What is it like to be the person who has to do that? And then also training for it and trying to execute on that front. So I think that the videos have evolved more into documentaries and highlighting the heroes in our lives, whether they're an Olympic athlete or a paramedic or a firefighter.
Or a chess master making fun of you on the internet.
Yes. No, I'll say the chess masters have been very nice.
Yeah.
So what was it like when the pandemic hit and that you weren't necessarily able to be doing all of these things and doing new things every day the way you were used to?
Oh my God. It was incredibly difficult for me. My whole channel and who I am as a person is all about going out, trying new things, meeting new people, absorbing other people's energy. Some people have one love language. I have all of them, unfortunately. And so I need all of that to experience love. And that was really, really difficult for me. Thankfully, we had a bit of a library of content sort of stocked up. But when we started running out of that and I had to sort of pivot and think of other ideas, it was massively, massively difficult. And it made me really appreciate getting to do it again, now being vaccinated and healthy and getting to try things again. I have such a new appreciation and understanding for the impact of the content, not just on the audience, but on myself and the crew.
Mm-hmm. How often do you get people saying, oh, I tried a new thing that I've always wanted to do because of your channel, whether it's the thing that was in the video or that it's like, they're like, I dreamed of being able to train my dog in a Westminster show and now I'm going to whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Funny, people have asked me to become a dog trainer before. I've thought about that.
I have the fattest little chihuahua and every day.
I love beans.
I know. I remember you love beans. Every day I want to train him to be in like a dog show because that's the funniest thing I could think of.
Oh, he would win the hearts of all the judges.
Michelle, train him to be in a dog show, please. Can you imagine?
I can. It would be so cute.
Anyway.
Yeah, so I feel very, very blessed that I do get a lot of messages from people saying, my daughter started Taekwondo today. I was inspired to put her in there because of you. Or I decided to go on a walk outside. I haven't done that in a long time. It can be as simple or as big as people quitting their job. I mean, I've gotten a lot of very fascinating emails and messages from people. And for me, that's really what it's all about.
Have you been surprised by your reaction to certain activities where either you thought you were going to like it way more than you actually did, or like you thought you wouldn't enjoy it and then you've discovered this like new passion?
I think that the thing I'm consistently surprised by, no matter what challenge I take on, is truly how difficult the things people do are. Mm. A couple months ago in May, after we got vaccinated, we got to do a video I've been wanting to do for a really long time where I worked a 24-hour paramedic shift. And now that I know what is going on inside an ambulance when the sirens are going and they're speeding down the 101, I am never going to hesitate for a second to get the hell out of the way. So I feel like I definitely have learned that everything is hard. It doesn't matter what profession you're in. It doesn't matter how physical or mental it is. If you are doing something to the highest caliber possible, I mean, it could be croquet. It's going to be really, really hard.
Mm-hmm. Well, how did you choose the very first one that you did that was more of a documentary? And then how do you choose what you want to? Are you doing this is what I'm interested in? Are you doing like this is what's trending on Google? Like why land on chess? Why land on firefighter? You know what I mean?
So it's sort of a combination between sometimes what's trending, sometimes what I'm personally interested in, sometimes stories in the news.
Oh, like what?
So, you know, the COVID and the pandemic of everything inspired me. We've got to do something in the medical field. When I lived quite close to one of the wildfires in California, I was like, okay, we got to do a firefighter mm-hmm. episode. I need to see what that's all about. And sometimes people suggest things in the comments. Queen's Gambit inspired the chess video.
I was about to say.
And also chess was a little easier to film in the pandemic, which was nice because a lot of it is online. So sometimes it's the restrictions of what's allowed in the world or the environment. And sometimes it's just general curiosity.
And as someone who is like constantly pushing themselves all the time, like, how do you handle the mental health of it all? How do you know when maybe you've pushed too hard or when you need to take a break?
I think that obviously, as you guys discuss and promote a lot already, I think finding the best therapist possible for yourself is the best investment I've ever made.
Is your therapist just like, what the fuck, Michelle? Like every day? Is your therapist, you're like, your therapist, you sit down for the intake. You're like, the therapist's like, okay, so what do you do for a job? And you're like, well, and you explain, and the therapist is like, I'm sorry, what? You what?
Well, mine is amazing. I've been with her for 5 years.
Wow.
So even I started right when I started working at BuzzFeed. So she's really seen, sorry, the place that must not be
we'll
named.
We'll bleep it. We'll bleep really it.
I ruined it.
We'll bleep it.
So she's been with me for the whole gamut. But yeah, usually pretty much every session begins with her asking, okay, so what did you do this week? And then I'll be like, oh, well, we rode around in an ambulance. And then I played chess. And then I'm also training for the Navy SEAL physical fitness test. So I did an hour of swimming with weights on my back. And she'll be like, okay, let's talk about what's going on there. But she's amazing. And she actually keeps incredible tabs on me. She's like, I remember last week when you were doing your push-ups, you were thinking negatively to yourself.
Wow.
How's that going? Wow. So I think that the wildest day I had of my life on the channel was one morning I drove to an airfield and rode in like a fighter jet, pulling 6 G's to experience the force of what astronauts experience going to space, like the literal, like your face is coming off your head. And that morning, because that was for astronaut training, and I immediately left that, ate lunch in the car on the way over to ballet training in the same day.
What?
Yeah.
How do you manage all of this? You know, it's like, what are you working with your therapist to not assign your whole self-worth, I would hope, to how these challenges go?
Something that's really nice for me is the reminder that the parts where I am having the most difficulty in the project I'm taking on are the most inspirational and relatable to the audience. Mm. So I always make it a point, and so does my partner, Garrett. Whenever I'm having a really hard time, he just turns on the camera and I'm always like, I don't want to talk about this. And he's like, this is the video.
Yeah.
People need to know it's not all rainbows and butterflies doing this right thing. So that's really nice for me. It's therapeutic for me as well. Obviously, I have an amazing therapist. And then I always make sure that the people I'm collaborating with for the video, when I interview a coach for a challenge accepted video, I take it as seriously as interviewing a therapist or a life partner in a way, because I don't see them as just the person who's going to teach me the technical skills. They're going to be supporting me mentally. Mm-hmm. They're going to be, you know, pulling the stop if things become too dangerous, as some of the things that we do on the channel. They're risky and always safe, but you know, we're taking risks. Mm-hmm. So I have to find a lot of trust in that person. And we've done a really good job so far of always vetting people pretty thoroughly for that. So I feel like the biggest thing for me beyond the journaling and self-monitoring and having people around me that look out for me is having that amazing team. So I guess what I would say to anyone who wants to try anything new or experience something that you never have before, make sure you're doing it with someone who will hold you accountable and will push you enough to the edge while keeping you safe. I think that a coach figure in anyone's life, whether it's for a physical, mental, career goal of any kind, that to me is the biggest investment when pursuing something new.
I love that. Would you like to pursue something new right now and play America's favorite game show, Hypotheticals?
I would love to. Challenge accepted.
Wow, that's perfect.
So I hope behind the scenes that you've been training for this for months, you know, listening to other episodes.
Oh, yes.
Coming up with ideas, answers. So I'm assuming you're more prepared than anyone's ever been.
Yeah, the whole chess thing was a lie. She's just been preparing for Hypotheticals.
So for those who don't know, Hypotheticals is a game show where you and Gabby are going to be my contestants. I'm going to give you a series of hypothetical situations. You can ask any clarifying questions you have about them, and then you tell me what you would do. And then I just decide if I like your answer.
Okay.
So really part of your research should have just been studying me and what I like.
Do you have a notebook open?
I don't know what's about to happen. I don't know how detailed this is. Yeah, I'm taking notes.
Our first game is America's favorite game show. Would you stay with this cheater? Here we go. You've been in a long distance monogamous relationship for 3 years. When you find out that your partner has been going on a bunch of first dates with different people because they miss dating IRL. Nothing physical has ever happened, but the other person definitely thinks it is a date and doesn't know they are in a relationship with you. Would you stay with this cheater?
No!
No.
But nothing physical's happened, and they just miss go. They just want to like try things. They want to like go to the movies with somebody, and they want to try the new restaurant and the moonlight walk.
No, because the other person is wasting their time. They're wasting the other person's time. That's mean. Michelle, your thoughts?
That's why?
Yes, your thoughts?
Well, I would say if those are things you miss, you can do those things by yourself. If you're missing the companionship, that's the part that I feel. If you really want it, get your ass on a plane. See you tomorrow.
They're very busy. Did I tell you that they're incredibly good looking? They're a millionaire and they save lives for a living.
If they're a millionaire, they can get on their private jet.
Salient point.
Relocate me. Why am I living somewhere else? Why am I not married and without a job living with them? I don't know.
Michelle's like, I'll give it all up tomorrow to live in some guy's mansion.
I would go crazy doing that.
Absolutely, I would do that as well.
I say you gotta go because I think it's really mean to go on a first date and then be like, oh, it's not working out. And then that person's like, what did I do wrong? And they didn't do anything wrong. You just never had your pure intentions.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess this one was too easy. I'm sorry. Jesus.
I feel bad. I would Venmo $1 to every person that they went on a date.
Yeah.
I almost feel like a $1 Venmo is more insulting than just not getting a Venmo.
Now put out an ad. If you went on a first date with this person and they didn't ever text you back, I will Venmo you $1.
No one would bother with that.
You don't know.
Okay. Our second game. Is this a date? While waiting in a long line to ride the Ferris wheel alone, someone at the front of the line is asked if they have a partner to ride with or if they are solo. They look out over the crowd, notice you are also alone, and say they are riding with you so you get to skip the line and join them. Is this a date?
Are they hot?
Medium.
That's so romantic.
Wow.
It's pretty romantic.
Imagine that shot like a movie.
Right?
That's pretty hot. I don't know if it's a date. I don't think it's a date.
I'm sorry. So they had not previously seen you before. They just looked back, saw you, and went, that one?
Yeah, because everyone else was clearly in pairs.
So that doesn't mean they're attracted to me. That doesn't mean that they like me. It just means that I was the only other person by myself.
But they didn't have to go with you. They could have just gone alone.
But the guy at the front made them feel like a loser.
No, they were just asking. You've never gone to a restaurant? They say, how many people?
Then you just say, for one.
Is there a connection between us?
Yeah, is there a connection?
When we make eye contact, is there like a connection?
You had a 3 second long eye contact before they said that I'm with them.
How long is the ride?
It is actually the biggest Ferris wheel in the world. So the ride is 35 minutes.
It's a date.
What did I?
it's a date.
Oh my God.
Do you guys think you're going to kiss on the Ferris wheel?
If we don't, I'm disappointed.
Wow. Would you wait till the very top, or is that when you're looking at the view so you don't want to be kissing?
I think they would have to wait, because I'm not making the first move because I just can't do that.
I love that you can do literally anything else, but you won't make the first move.
Challenge accepted. Michelle makes the first move. It's not happening.
Oh, okay. So I feel like I wouldn't do it at the top because that's when you're kind of expecting it. Like there needs to be a little will they, won't they? So it'd be slightly after the top at like, you know, 15 degrees after.
Wow.
And it'll be, I'm looking out the window, kind of sad that they haven't made a move yet. And then they touch my shoulder. I whip around and then we kiss.
And then you'll be like, what is your name? I don't know you.
I love romance.
Wow. And then they say, it's me, Prince Harry.
No, Prince Harry's married.
Who's single? It's me, Harry Styles.
Harry Styles is in a relationship with Jason Sudeikis' ex.
Olivia Wilde?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's now. Would you stay with this cheater? It's two games, baby. It's two games. Okay, what is our third game?
Our final game. Are you a terrible parent? Your five-year-old is furious that they couldn't get ice cream before dinner, so they give you the silent treatment. In order to make them talk to you again, you start to pretend to get very sick and explain that the only thing that keeps you alive is the sound of their voice. They still refuse to talk to you, implying they would not care if you died. Are you a terrible parent?
So one time when I was 8, I wanted to mess with my little sister and we were waiting at the grocery store while my mom was inside. So just to mess with her, I told her that I was an alien and I was beaming her into space.
Absolutely.
And I think to this day, it has still scarred her. So I'm going to say that's a bad parent.
Yeah. You're a terrible parent.
Is it a bad parent because they're clearly so unattached to you that they don't care if you die?
It's because when you're young, your brain thinks things are real. It'll get all messed up, you know?
Yeah. It's a little manipulative.
No, it's very manipulative.
I don't know the appropriate way to parent in that moment because I haven't done challenge accepted parenting yet.
You're like, challenge accepted, throw yourself out of a plane. Challenge accepted, like swim with sharks. You're like, Michelle, challenge accepted, raise this toddler. You're like, absolutely not. I will not be doing that.
Not yet.
I get it. That's way more intense.
I love kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're like the fun person.
Yeah, that's why I love them. Okay, so I think you're a bad parent. I wouldn't do this because I wouldn't want to find out that my kid doesn't care if I die. Like, I would not do any kind of thing that would be like, well, if you don't do this, I'll die. Because that's playing with fire. You might learn that your kid doesn't care if you die. And I don't want to know that.
Yeah.
That's true. All right, so this week's, you know, these were easy ones this week, but the thing is I know Michelle's been working so hard on the chess. I wanted to give her a break.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's why.
Thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find you, follow you, and see all the amazing things you are trying?
Thank you guys so much for having me. And you guys can find me at Michelle Carré everywhere, YouTube, Instagram, etc.
A long time ago, we did a video trying 24 karat gold facials. So go if you want to see me and Michelle do that, go find that old video.
That was fun. I enjoyed that.
Every single comment is like, this is a scam. This is a scam.
Yeah, I know. See, the channel has pivoted a bit since then.
I once met you in the woods and fought you with a stick.
Oh, yeah. That was fun too.
Oh, check that one out as well.
Wow. Thank you so much, Michelle.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Stick around after the break. We'll be talking about all the things we've been wrong about. It's a long list.
Oh, boy.
Has dealing with stress and trying to get more focused a New Year's resolution you haven't cracked yet or don't really know how to fix? I have a lot of trouble staying focused and I also get super stressed out, and I think that not being able to stay focused really dovetails with that. So if there was a way for me to keep my focus that didn't also cause my brain to get so scattered with stress, I would love to be able to fix it. I sometimes can't focus on the task at hand because I'm so busy realizing that there are things I need to do on the Just Between Us Instagram account. So I'll be like fully writing something and all of a sudden my brain will go, JBU Instagram, have to post on social media. Truvaga is a handheld product that stimulates the vagus nerve to improve overall health and wellness. Stimulating the vagus nerve with Truvaga helps to balance and strengthen the nervous system, which reduces stress, increases focus, improves mood, and improves sleep. Truvaga is owned by ElectroCore and uses its patented technology for overall health and wellness benefits. Its utilized technology is the most clinically studied and tested vagus nerve therapy available. Customizable sessions are only 2 minutes long. Recommended usage is one session in the morning and one at night. Truvaga comes programmed with 350 sessions, which, if used twice a day, will last approximately 6 months. It's drug-free and easy-to-use therapy to help improve your health. No app or phone is required. We offer free standard shipping, payment plan options, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. It's only available in the U.S. at this time. Visit Truvaga.com, T-R-U-V-A-G-A.com, and enter promo code JUSTBETWEENUS to enhance your wellness journey, support this podcast, and receive $15 off. That's Truvaga.com. Check out promo code JUSTBETWEENUS.
To Just Between Us, it's time for topics.
XXXXXX, baby.
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 So a thing I've found very empowering lately is just that I'm wrong about everything.
Oh, God. Me too. Oh, God. Me too.
Or just that, like, we're all wrong about everything. We all have no idea what we're talking about.
Why does anyone ever interview me about anything? That's my question. Like, I get interviewed about stuff and I'm like, I'm not going to solve how cis people can be better to trans people. I'm not going to solve, if you ask me, like, just like my opinion on something, that could be a different opinion in a week after I read a book about it that's different. I don't know.
Yeah. All the time I hear things and I'm like, oh, okay, so I was wrong about that. And then I'll hear another thing and I was like, oh, maybe I wasn't wrong about that. Oh, maybe it was this. Maybe it's that. I don't know. I mean, even just in like, my grad school program, the variety of like the different opinions that these teachers have that are teaching in the same program.
I have a question. And this might be hard to start addressing at age 33. How do I know what my opinions are?
I don't know.
How do I know what I actually believe?
I'm not sure.
Well, like, because I got the basics down, right? I know, like, don't be racist. Like, don't be like Islamophobic. I know, like, all of that stuff. But, like, what do I think about anything?
Instead of that, let's think of something that we've been wrong about.
100 things.
One of which that I think our nation was wrong about was thinking that Trump wasn't going to win in 2016.
Yep.
That was, like, a moment where, like, so I mean, obviously some people knew that he was going to win or suspected it. But I feel like that was, like, a moment where everyone's worldview just went, oh, my God.
I think a lot of people around me did know, because it's either you were like in denial or people around me just like didn't have a lot of faith in other people.
But you didn't know people going to like Hillary celebration parties?
Of course.
Like there were tons of people.
No, I went to one. But I also think that's like our own like white liberal at the time, 2016 brains, right? We're like, we were wrong, right? Like we were like, oh, like she's gonna win, like girl boss, my like dumb white feminist brain. And then like everything went to shit. And now we like are like, oh, what everyone else knew in the leftist side of things, they were completely right. And we were all just living in a bubble of privilege, basically.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, that's like a wide scale. I feel like my takes and interpretations of feminism were wrong. My takes and interpretations of gender were wrong. My idea of bisexuality in general and my own bisexuality were completely wrong.
Can you elaborate on that?
I want to say wrong in the terms of like, obviously, like I've had a lot of growth, which most people go through growth. I just so happen to go through growth in front of thousands of people all the fucking time. But if you look back, like the way that I talked about feminism was like so, I was so cis sexist in a lot of ways. So like, for instance, when I started dating Mal, who's a trans masculine person, I have a mug that says male tears, right? At the time, I was like, ha ha, male tears, I'm really doing it. Like, aha, kill all men, feminism, whatever, right? That mug, it's actually like, to me now, in my opinion, harmful, because it's dispelling men's abilities to have emotions, to show their emotions, to be taken seriously when they are crying. It kind of, by default, I think erases trans masculine people and trans men. I think it is like this very baseline feminism that like doesn't take into account that like patriarchy hurts everybody. I didn't know any trans people. Like, I didn't know beyond like the binary man, woman, gender. So it's like almost like a relic to me. There's some stuff that I feel so differently about that I pushed so hard in the beginning that I think was a sort of very basic white feminist sort of whatever. And I just also had a platform of like thousands of people. There was some stuff that I just parroted too that I like, you know, never even like had my own thoughts on. Like there was all of this sort of push at the time for like sex positivity, which is like great. But like then it kind of came full circle around to like prude shaming in this way. And then like, you know, there's just these things that I think we all go in waves of like, what's the popular take or what's the popular like opinion or right opinion? Or I just wrote that. I was learning. I was like, yeah, this is all great. This seems great to me. Like, I think a lot of it was like not thought through on my end at all. And then the commodification of everything, right? Of like sexuality and sex positivity and feminism being commodified as merch, as books, as like not books like scholarly tomes, but like Urban Outfitters table books, like just these kinds of things that then I later was like, oh, well, this is like feeding into capitalism. And I don't know if that's just growing up or like becoming more aware of things or whatever, but like there's a lot of stuff that unfortunately I think I was very stubborn about online that now I'm like, you were wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, my concepts of the world and life, and that's like forever changing. But it's been weird that like I've been so wrong about things in my personal life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the big one obviously is like within a month of dating Jake, I was like, I'm going to marry this man. Mm-hmm. Like I felt that very deeply. I mean, I got engaged to him. Like I was like,
so yeah,
you know, and I was like, oh, this is definitely my husband. This is definitely my life partner. I didn't have any doubts. Mm-hmm. And then for that to now not be the case, it's like, oh, yeah. Okay, I was very wrong about that. Yeah. And then on the flip side, I like, you know, that's sort of like a very upsetting, jarring thing to be so wrong about. But then to know that like you can be so wrong about something like that and then like you can still live your life. And I also felt very strongly up until a couple years ago that I was done with school, that I would never mm-hmm. be back in school. And like, I was like, felt very happy and glad that that chapter of my life was over. Mm-hmm. I couldn't fathom writing another paper, taking another test or having homework. It was like, what? No, that's mm-hmm. child's play. I'm done with that. And then now to be back in school and be like, mm-hmm. well, I was super wrong about that too. You know, it's just wild that you don't know things about your views on things, then also just realities of your own life.
I regret saying things so definitively,
mm-hmm.
but that I think is youth I'm finding just from looking at other young people younger than me. So Melissa sent me a script that she and another woman worked on. And there's like a passing joke in it that's like, lesbians don't scissor, which for a long time, here's what happened. On South Park, they made this joke about, oh, all lesbians scissor. And they made it seem gross. Then the backlash, this is my limited cultural, pop cultural, academic analysis. Then from that, lesbians started being like, we don't scissor, that's disgusting. I don't think it ever actually went away. And then when I started dating women, I was like, oh, nobody scissors, like that's gross. Then as I started like getting older, it was like, oh no, that actually is a thing that happens in the community. This joke that like lesbians don't scissor basically started with cis men making fun of it, going into needing to defend sexuality from that. And then like that joke kept getting repurposed, repurposed, repurposed. And then people started using it in scripts to be like, I'm so woke that I know that lesbians don't scissor. And now, to me in my brain, it's come fully all around where I made jokes like that. I made jokes constantly where I was like, lesbians don't scissor. And I wanted to, because I wanted to seem like I was like so knowledgeable and so like in the community. And I didn't know what I was talking about. I had no fucking idea what I was talking about. Like I said it so definitively, and I said it so like I know everything about all the queer sex that everyone in the world is having. That was like not even true. And there were so many, that's like a very intense example, but there are so many examples of things that I just said and like repeated without ever checking out if it was true.
Yeah, I think that, you know, with age has come, instead of feeling more confident in my like knowledge, I'm less confident.
I don't know anything. I don't know fucking anything. And by the way, Melissa's script is amazing. If you're looking for to make a really great romantic comedy about art with a Black woman lead, please hit her up. But yeah, it was just like, I don't know anything about anything. I get so, here's, you want to know something else? A bunch, so I came out as non-binary, and then a bunch of like media, like not a bunch, maybe like three places were like, oh, we want to ask you about it. And I was like, I don't know anything. I've been out for a day. I can't come here and speak about the non-binary experience. I don't know fucking anything. Like just because you become something doesn't mean the next day you're an expert on that thing.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of pressure to be, people ask you, and it's like, well, how do you, again, like I said in the beginning, like, how could cis people be better allies to non-binary people? Fuck if I don't fucking know. And so, I mean, I was wrong about trusting people. I mean, I think the audience of this show, but maybe like if you're new here, you don't know, like, I trusted someone who ended up being a rapist. Like, I don't know anything. That to me is like, I think about that all the time because that to me is such an example of like, oh, I know this person so well. There's no way that they could X, Y, and Z. And I would, if it was like tomorrow, they were like, Mal's a serial killer, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm with them all the time, so I don't know when they would have the time to do it. But maybe when they tell me they're taking skateboarding lessons, I don't really know. But
has there been anything that you've been happy to be wrong about? Like for me, I think I used to think that being younger was better.
Oh, being younger sucks.
Yeah. And I no longer think that. Like now I thought that like the best time of your life was definitely going to be your 20s or something.
No.
Like I don't agree with that anymore.
No. Being younger sucks ass, dude. I'm so glad to be 33. That's a great one. I think also just like what my life will look like, the capacity for my life, who my partner is, what my day-to-day life is, what my choices are, like who I get to be around. Like I was so limited in what I thought was possible for myself. And I put myself in all of these boxes that even career-wise that I was wrong about. I mean, I have been given so many wonderful opportunities in ways that like I would have never predicted or like, you know, I think my day-to-day with my partner, my dog and work is like so different than I would have thought in a much better way considering I will say my family of origin. I never thought that I would be able to cut off family members who were harmful to me. I never thought. I was like, I'm going to have to deal with this person the rest of my life. Guess what? You can just cut them off.
Melissa, you want to come on in and share your thoughts on this?
Yeah. I mean, I told you guys before we started that I was having a hard time coming up with things that I've been wrong about. And I think it's because I have a different perspective of what right and wrong is. And so kind of like when Gabby was talking about the male tears thing. And I think that from the perspective that you were living in at that time, you were just uninformed. Mm-hmm. And then once you learn more information, then you changed your position. And so I think you would have been wrong if you would have kept the same position.
Oh, interesting. Okay, interesting.
So I see things more as I'm uninformed or I don't know things. And if I learn more things about it and then keep that same position, then that's what I'm wrong about.
Yeah, I love that. Because all the time I'm like, I'm just misinformed or I was uninformed or I didn't know. And, you know, and I think what's so important, a really big difference you can see between people is if when you're presented with evidence that you were wrong, are you able to accept that evidence and change your point of view? Mm-hmm. Or is it so upsetting to you that the idea that you could be wrong that you become blind to the evidence and you dig in your heels?
Exactly.
I've changed in that I don't dig in my heels. So
I think that's what we can all aspire to. It's like we're always going to be misinformed. We're always going to be underinformed. Mm-hmm. We're always going to be learning, you know, but it's if we have the openness to take in the new information, that's mm-hmm. what we can work on versus like assuming that like from this day forward, we should never be wrong again.
Exactly.
Yeah. Except I did used to dig in my heels and now I don't. And I will never do it again because the consequences were terrible for everyone. So nope. I do highly recommend cutting off abusive family members. That has been tight as hell.
Yep. I've done that too. And I've got some backlash from my parents about it, but I'm fine with it. It's not my problem.
Oh, my parents are so mad. And I don't care.
Me either.
Okay. What do we rate this episode? I rate it 12 out of 11 estrangements.
I give it 15 out of 10 flaky friends.
Ooh. And I will give it 37 out of 34 firefighting chess players.
Hot. Literally. Literally hot. Yeah. Thank you to Michelle Khoury for being our guest.
Just Between Us is a Forever Dog production hosted by me, Allison Raskin.
And me, Gabby Dunn.
Produced by Melissa DeMonts.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Brendan Burns composed our killer theme music.
To listen to this podcast ad-free, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus.
And check out video clips of our podcast on YouTube at youtube.com/foreverdogteam or on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/justbetweenusshow.
And make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Forever Dog Team to keep up with all the latest Forever Dog news. Also at Allison Raskin on Instagram, at Gabby Rode on Instagram, and at She Is Not Melissa on Instagram. Okay, bye!
Forever!